Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am so sorry, Jeremiah. I have been a really, really bad God, and I have done everything wrong against you that I could, and I'm so sorry, and I'm going to try and be better for you tomorrow. Oh, wait a minute, that's not how it says it. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Well, Jeremiah knows how to murmur and gripe and complain. Here he is. He's been called by God as a youth to come and proclaim not God's grace and mercy, but God's judgment, a job I would not have wanted to have. He is told that he is to go forth among the people to let them know that their wickedness and their turning away from God will have its consequence, and the city of Jerusalem will be burned down. None of this stuff that people say about prophets, well, they said, if you confess your sin and say you're sorry, then God won't let all that happen. In fact, in chapter 7 and early chapter 8, God says to Jeremiah, don't you dare pray for this people. It's too late. That doesn't sound like the kind of God we'd like to make up in our image, does it? Well, and that's the problem. Human beings in their old sinful nature want to make up God so that God is convenient and God is a blessing and God's a good buddy and God's there to help us out in our time of need, and then he can go back in his corner while we live our life. For Jeremiah, everything was about proclaiming God's wrath and God's mercy. That would wait for a later chapter. That would wait for a different audience. As Isaiah some 100 years before, and as Ezekiel at this same time, as he is in southern Iraq in Babylon already, the word is not a good word. If God is such a nice guy, then why did Jesus have to die? If God is such a nice guy, can't he just wash the sins away by just blowing on them? God is God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the one who put us on this planet to worship and honor and adore him and to love each other all the time. And that whole book called the Bible is really a book that says, here's his love affair with sinners. He will love and forgive and hold off on his wrath. But there are times when he says, I will not let you harm others. And so by the time Jeremiah is speaking, some 600 years after they got into the land, he is saying, it's time now. So many have turned away, have said that God himself will just have to do their bidding, and are so harsh on others, they have to be removed. No one is above God. No one can change the way this works. And so God's wrath is in the scriptures as well. God's wrath against those who fight him and who want nothing to do with him. But the Old Testament is a story also of God's grace and mercy. He does not finally pour out his complete wrath on everybody. He will stop those who are wicked from harming others, though it doesn't come soon enough. But finally, he has to deal with this rebellion that is in every human heart. Jeremiah is known in some books as the suffering servant of the Old Testament. A lot of people think that that's in a part of Isaiah that we've been looking at quite often in recent weeks. But Jeremiah is the one who stands to say God is great, righteous and merciful, and even his own family members up in Anathoth were going to kill him. He says, I was like a lamb led to the slaughter. They were going to kill me. My family was, because they didn't like what I was saying. He was bearing his cross. He says to God, why haven't you acted in judgment against others? But as we know from elsewhere in the scriptures, God says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of it in my own good time. But Jeremiah is pointing his finger at God and saying, you failed me. Are you going to be like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Sooner or later, after the rain, no more water is running down the drains. Are you going to be like that, God? Or are you going to be like one who continues to give me everything I need? And then as I mockingly read it, God does not say, oh, I'm a bad God, I'm so sorry. He says, I'm doing exactly what I want to do, Jeremiah. I am with you to deliver you. I am a wall around you. You're the whole city of Jerusalem. One you. That's it. Everybody else is outside. You're the only one left. Though Baruch and a few others will be as well. But he said, don't think that they're going to get you. I'm watching over you, protect you. Well, it got a little different some 600 plus years later when our Lord hangs on a cross. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father. And the bronze wall comes down and our Lord is put to death. To Jeremiah, the words were, I will be with you. Our Lord's words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why am I your faithful son on the outside? Outside that city wall where our dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. And so unlike Jeremiah, whom God protected, our Lord is abandoned to our fate so that he might give us complete peace and joy in his presence forever. So the most wicked event that ever takes place on the planet is used for our salvation. And it is our task now to tell God's news. There will be times when we will complain and gripe and say, God, you have abandoned me. I have said that, and I would guess you have as well. There are times and situations where we would think, we've heard God's promise, why isn't it coming true? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. My promise that you will be mine forever, that won't go away. And thus we go forth each day, praising and honoring and thanking him, asking him to help us start over to be what he has made us to be. People who have come forth from the grave, who can look back on it instead of into it, who know that someday, unless the Lord returns, We will be laid in the ground as well, but we will be resurrected to be in his presence forever. And that's how we live each day. We live knowing that the one who went through that grave for us is our Lord and our Savior. And he guides and leads us every day. And he helps us yearn to hear that good news and to share it with others so that we can stand tall, we can stand strong, and we can be his people. Laura, as we install you today, do that. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.